Good evening, everybody. Tonight's class is dedicated by Shiloach family, our sponsors this summer. We thank them for all their support in memory of Leah Batzara Leah Shalom. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. It's not just any Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh. Everyone knows how to say it? What is it? That's not how you say it. Elul. It's not just any month. It's not like Shivat, Adar, Nisan. It's Elul. When they used to announce on Shabbat that Rosh Chodesh Elul was coming, it struck fear in the hearts of men, because they realize the importance of these days. But I think I'm going to start with a little different approach. There's really 51 days in this next time period of the Holy Jewish calendar. There's 51 days that are connected by purpose. Nah. Please. Days. Nun is 50. Aleph is 1. 51 special days. Begins with Rosh Chodesh Elul and continues past the month of Elul, where the Sephardim say Selichot the whole month. And Ashkenazim join us in the last week or so. Then we have the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, which follow the great Yom Adin of Rosh Hashanah, 10 days. Then Yom Kippur. And most of you will hear the word Elul. So yeah, that's it. We're done. Let's go home and eat. In fact, the Mazor commands you. The last thing we Sephardim read, which I believe Ashkenazim also have in some Nosach, is to go home and to eat the fatted meat and drink the wine and enjoy the foods of this world. Kippur is over. But then we have 4 very busy days in preparation for Sukkot. Then we have a week of Sukkot, followed by the real culmination of this time period, the 51st day from today. The 51st day from today is Simchat Torah, Shemini Atzeret. And that's one total time period with one purpose. One of the minhagim, one of the customs, is to read a certain perek of Tehillim after the prayers in Elul and continuing through until the day of Simchat Torah Shemini Atzeret. Some congregations now have become accustomed to reading it all year. They like to say an extra Kaddish, but it's called LeDavid. LeDavid Hashem Ori V'Yishi. And I don't bring it up randomly out of the 150 chapters of Tehillim. I bring it up because there's a pasuk in Melachim where a man was looking in the Tanakh, he was looking for a particular place, and he asked about directions, and the answer given to him was Lo ze haderech velo ze ha'ir. This is not the path, the way, and this is not the location, the city. You see, when you want to accomplish, when you want to get to your destination, you first have to find out what that is. And you have to focus on it and know, that's where I'm going. It's very odd for a person to go to the airport or the train station, walk up to the counter and say, I need a ticket, and for the clerk to somehow know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, mister, how do I know where you're going? You have to tell them, give me a ticket to Philadelphia, give me an airline ticket to Florida. You have to know your destination. So that's our first job tonight, because we have a 51-day journey in front of us. And we should know where we're going. And once we know that, we should find out how to get there. We should plug it into our navigator or our MapQuest or whatever you use for directions and get the directions. Because we'd like to accomplish what Hashem has laid out for us in this very special time period of the year. And the custom is to read this Perek of Tehillim. And in it are the directions we need. Our rabbis teach us, L'David Hashem Ori V'yish'i Mimi Eira. A song for David. Hashem is my light, my salvation. I fear no one. Who should I fear? If Hashem is my light and Hashem is my salvation, who should I fear? He goes on again and continues talking about all the enemies that can attack him. And he says, Bizot ani boteach. In this one indisputable fact I trust. Ahat sha'alti me'et Hashem. I ask only one thing from God. Ota avakesh. That's what I ask for, what I plead for. Shifti v'et Hashem kol yimei chayai. To sit, to dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Lachazot b'noam Hashem. To look at the pleasantness of Hashem. Ulbakeh v'echalo. And to visit in His sanctuary. Ki itzbeneni b'suko. When He hides me in His sukkah and His shelter. Biyom ra'ah, on days where troubles befall me, b'suyro emeni, and a rock He lifts me. What is this talking about? It's talking about David, who was a troubled person, always pursued, thanking Hashem for protecting him. Yet our sages tell us, there's a midrash, Hashem ori, Hashem is my light, refers to Rosh Hashanah. V'yish'i, my salvation, Yom Kippur. And at the end he says, He hides me in His sukkah, Sukkot, and then He lifts me to the ultimate happiness, that's Simchat Torah. Our job, our goal, all our effort in the next 51 days should be to get to Simchat Torah. So although you will hear many classes with valid givens, like we have 30 days now to make Teshuvah before Yom HaDin and we should be concerned, and the Sefer HaDin is starting Selichot on Thursday morning, and the Ashkenazim will then say their Selichot, and we will go through Rosh Hashanah, and we will make Teshuvah, and we will go to Musa Shmuzes. We're going to go, we're going to hear Musar, we're going to try and wake up, we're going to make resolutions. But the ultimate purpose is not just to survive a trial. It's to end up sitting on Daddy's lap again. To get back close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is what really makes us happy. That's our goal, that's our purpose. And all the trappings are what we do in the next 51 days. Whether decreed by God or explained by our sages or self-induced, to arouse ourselves to the proper mindset. But that's your goal. Your goal is to get close to Hashem in happiness. Because that's what will truly make you happy, being close to Hashem. When Hashem is revealed and He's close and He's obvious, the Yehudi is happy. When Hashem, kaviyachol, so to speak, hides His face or conceals Himself from our presence, the Yehudi is unhappy. them's the facts of life. And once a year, they call out, this week is Rosh Chodesh Elul. And we start that frightful period of fear and teshuvah of the trial. And yet we should realize that our ultimate goal is happiness, dwelling with Hashem, sitting on Daddy's lap again. So now you're all going to go to classes. A lot of classes. I was looking at the table outside. There's tons of different tapes, different speakers. Maybe that's what I should be doing. I should be listening. I should open my ears to hear what everybody has to say so I'll know how to conduct myself. I'll get the right directions and the right instructions to get where I'm going. Listen, right? Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel. But there's hearing and there's listening and there's hearing and there's listening. There's a famous question asked sometime in the winter when we read Parashat Yitro. Yitro says, it says that Yitro came to meet Moshe in the desert. So the Midrash asks, Ma Shimua Shama Oba? What did he hear that prompted him to come? What prompted him to come? And Rashi brings the splitting of the sea, it's Yat Mitzrayim, the different Mefashim, the war with Amalek. He heard these things and he came. So that makes him a great person? Well, in fact, yes. Because we read that Namogu called Yoshevichinan. Everybody heard what he heard. This was on all the stations. This was big news. It didn't matter if you listened to Fox or CNN or your newspaper or your magazine. Everybody was talking about Yitziat Mitzrayim. Everybody was aware of the splitting of the sea. The people of Canaan were shaking in trepidation that the Jews are coming, the Jews are coming, we're lost, what's going to be with us? So, Mashim wa Shama Obaba Yishma Yitro, you have to ask me what he heard? He heard what everybody heard. But that's what made him great. The question of the Midrash is, what did he hear? Mashim wa Shama Uba. And he came. He reacted with action. He changed his autopilot life and steered the car or the donkey or whatever he traveled on straight to Moshe in the desert. There's something great going on there and I want to be part of it. Where everybody else heard and didn't change. Not one iota. Some were fearful. Some trembled. But nobody else came. So although you may go to a lot of classes, you may listen to a lot of CDs and tapes, you may read a lot of the available material in Lashon HaKodesh or in English, or Russian or French or whatever you read. But if you don't change, if you don't react with action, you might as well not read it. Because that's not where you're going. It's not going to get you there. You have to be resolved to go and change. Listening doesn't mean to be afraid of the deen. Listening doesn't mean to have good intentions, resolutions. Teshuvah is to turn around and go in the other direction. I have the unfortunate summer custom of riding the New York City subway system. And that's an unfortunate circumstance that's part of my life. So you go, guy came to me today, I'm thinking about this class, and they really did a great job this winter while I was not riding the subways. The D became the B, the Q became the A, they changed the number, the trains all go to the same place, and they just change all the letters. So a man comes up to me, carrying my book. I guess I'm pretty respectable looking down there, you know. In a regular crowd, I'm just a regular guy, but down there, you're really special if you're just normal. So a guy walks up to me, here's the guy I should ask. He tells me, I haven't been on the subway for many years. Wearing his little baseball cap, nice man, his khaki pants, blue shirt, very American looking. Tells me, I haven't been on the subway for many years. Can you tell me where to find the Q train? Well, the Q train's over here, but do you really want the Q? Maybe you want the B or the D, because the Q used to be something else, and had a circle and a triangle, but I don't think that's where it goes anymore. So we start looking at the map to figure out where he's going, and he tells me, you know, I was on the other train, and I didn't know where I was going, so I just got off. I said, good, you did the right thing. Because I was thinking in this class, and I remember an old mashal I used many years ago. Guy gets on the train, subway. Those days it was worse. I used to ride it every day, winter and summer. Guy gets on the subway, sits down next to a person. Person's reading the paper. He doesn't want to disturb him. He waits, he looks. Stop one, stop two. Finally, he turns to the person. He says, does this train go to Coney Island? He says, no. That's the downtown train. This train goes north to Queens. It's an F train to Queens. So the guy says, oh, you mean it's not that way? And he points to the left. The man says, no, it's that way. And he points to the right. So this genius gets up and starts walking to the right as the train traveled and continued to the left. So his friend that's sitting down reading the paper looks at him and says, what are you doing? He said, well, I was going the wrong way, but now I'm going the right way. He says, sir, the first thing you got to do is get off the train. And then you get on a train that's traveling the right way. So the first thing we have to do as Rosh Chodesh arrives is say, I'm willing to change trains. I'm going to do things differently. Stop the world, I want to get off. My life has been in the wrong direction. Mimashbesh ma'asav means I have to feel the quality of my deeds. Yipashbesh ma'asav means I have to inspect my deeds. That's two different feelings we have to have at this time of year. What does that mean? First of all, are there things I'm doing wrong? Are there things I should be doing that I'm not doing? The whole list, 613 mitzvot, 248 of them are positive. Maybe 100 of those are active today, without a Beit HaMikdash, as you say, in Kohanim, but 100. Am I doing them? 190. I forget, there's a book out, put out by the Chafetz Chaim, but it has the list. And how about all the negatives? Well, they all apply. Am I keeping away from trouble? That's Yipashpesh B'Ma'asav. That's the famous take in accounting. But there's also Yimashmesh B'Ma'asav. That's what I call a Jewish handshake. Guy comes into shul, he's wearing a nice suit. His friend walks up to him and says, hey, nice suit. As he rubs his fingers on the fabric, he's feeling the quality. Nice. That's good. But do you do that with your mitzvot? Do you just give tzedakah any way you feel like? Is your chesed what you're in the mood for? When you say, I eat kosher, do you watch out for the stringencies? Are you careful with the hashgacha? So long it says kosher, man, boy, you should know what I used to eat. No, you have to look at the quality of your mitzvah. Do you do tefillah, prayer, any better than you did last year or the year before? Because if you didn't improve, you went backwards. How are your prayers? How are your berachot? You're doing them. But you have to say, hey, let me feel the quality and see if it's up to par. That's the job. That's the details. That's the beginning of the derech. That's the map that's going to get us to Simchat Torah. A person has to commit to change. Somebody once told me, I had a very successful Yom Kippur. I said, Ashrecha v'tov lach. That's wonderful. You're fortunate and it's good for you to have a good Kippur. I said, what was good about it? He said, I made teshuvah. In the vernacular, I repented. You repented? Yes. How do you do that? He said, well, simple. I read the Rambam. You have to feel regret. So I made myself miserable over all the things I did wrong. You have to say it out loud. Vidui. Boy, did I read Vidui. I had the pamphlet. I read it in English. I read it in Hebrew. They did it five times, standing up, all crying. I really did Vidui. I never realized there's so many things I did wrong, but they were all in the book. I said, yes. He said, and then I resolved to never do it again. I said, you know something? You're a champ. You hit the three elements of Teshuvah right on the nose. Regret, confession, resolve never to repeat. You've heard that before. But then I really depressed this man. I told him, do you know when Kippur starts? He said, yeah, sunset 6:42 and 6:22 No. That's when the fast began. Do you know when Kippur starts? He said, well, I thought it was the same thing. I said, no, not true. Kippur starts with Havdalah. When you turn around to go home, that's when Kippur starts. Because you have to be different than you were before. And all those resolutions have to be put into action. And when you have that opportunity to speak Lashon Hara, you have to shut that mouth. And when that person who's annoying comes over for tzedakah, you have to give it to him. And when it's time to wake up and go to that class, you can't be late. And when you said you're going to be a kinder, gentler person, not lose your temper, you better watch it the next time something aggravates you. Because Kippur is an ongoing process of change. And change is not the resolution you make on the day. Change is what you do for the balance of the year until next Kippur. That's our second step. We have to know where we're going, Simchat Torah. We have to know what we want to accomplish, get close to Hashem. But we have to know how to get there, and the first thing is to open our ears and hear, but hear with an intent to do. And once we hear with intent to do, we have to start doing it. And that, my friends, is the difficult part. Because if we are anything, we are creatures of habit. Some of the habits are good, and some of the habits are bad. says berachote? Anybody? Oh, you do? Good, good. I like that. Berachot, beracha. I like beracha. I go to Kabbalists, I travel miles, I give tzedakah, I visit rabbis who come to town. I like beracha. Blessing. I like to get them. And when I eat, I say them. And when I pray, I also mouth the words. And when I feel something good, I praise Hashem. From when I wake up in the morning to when I go to sleep at night, I'm saying berachot. Fantastic. You know why? Rav Chaska Levenstein, Zecher Tzadik Vracha, says, one of the greatest exercises, and I don't mean in the gym, I don't mean in the J, I mean exercise, spiritual exercise, to increase your constant awareness of Hashem, is berachot. If I want to know where my child is, or let's say a child has his father go away, but he wants to keep in touch with his father, so he gets out his cell phone and he calls him. Speed dial number one is daddy. He presses it. Talks to his father. His father's in the office. Hi, honey. Nice. I didn't see you this morning. I went to shul early. I had an early appointment. Da-da-da. Very nice to hear from you. 10 minutes later, number one. Hi, daddy. Da-da. Where are you? Well, I left the office. I have an appointment downtown. I'm in a taxi. Good. 15 minutes later, number one. Hi, daddy. Where are you? And throughout the day, this young child dials and dials and speed dials and dials and voice dials and however he gets to him, constantly calling his father, where are you, where are you, where are you, where are you? And he's aware of everything his father did during the day. Until daddy comes home at night, he gives him a big hug and says, daddy, we had a great day together. Hashem says, you can't see me. You can't feel me. You can't understand me. But why don't you say 100 blessings a day? Why don't you say, Baruch, you are the source of all blessing. Atah, you, the one I can sense. Hashem, the Lord, God, who was, is, and always will be. Elokeinu, the only power there is, who happens to be our God. Melech, he's the sovereign. Not the mayor of Buffalo. Not the governor of Utah. Not the president of the United States. Not the king of the world. The melech of all creation. Angels and demons and fish and grass. Everything is his subject. Ha'olam. And then you say what you're going to say. You gave me this glass of water. You made this perfume. You gave me this new suit. You saved me from trouble. La, 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 la. Please give me health. Give me wealth. Give me happiness. Baruch atah, baruch atah, baruch atah, baruch atah. If our object is to get close to Hashem, if our purpose is to understand that Hashem's closeness makes us happy, then what better way than to practice over 100 times a day, Baruch atah Hashem. So you do it, right? Well, you say Bechot HaShachar, Bechot, that's almost 26. Say Amidah, men 3 times a day, women at least once. That's another 19. Times 3 is 57. I eat. I do my bodily need. I say Asher Yatzar. I say Berachot. I say hundreds of Berachot. It's easy. The question is, let's take a scene. A man goes to Shamayim. He gets to heaven. A balan kon, you should all make it. He gets to heaven. He's a little fearful of what's going to face him, the trial. But fortunate for him, he's not the first one online. There's some other Aige online. So the guy goes up to the docket. The judge of the heavenly court hits the, what do they call that thing? the gavel on the table. It's called in session. Mr. Piloni ben Almoni, step right up. Steps up, he says, listen, we want to show you what you did wrong. So all your Avonot are going to come here. So, happens to be, this is a very nice courtroom. It's right by the railroad station. And a freight train starts pulling up. And the freight train has about 24 cars. And in those cars are all the Avonot that this person did, all the sins. Forms of angels, debits, make your own picture. Then another train pulls up. And that train has all the mitzvot. And it's pretty even. The guy gets a little scared because, you know, I can't tell. 24 cars, maybe one has a few. Hey, this is too close for comfort. Then another train pulls up. So the man watching turns to the angel next and says, what's that? I know there's good and bad. What's the third train? He said, the third train is the man's berachot. And he sees this long train pull up. And the train pulls up and the cars are overflowing with berachot. Berachot on perfume, berachot on food, berachot on miracles, berachot on thunder and lightning, berachot on levana, berachot of the Amidah, berachot, berachot, berachot. The gavel goes down. Sadiq, Olam Haba. Now our spectator is feeling good about himself. He says, hey, I ain't perfect. I did a lot of stuff that's good. And I did more than I'd like to admit that was bad. But if Birachot's got to tip the scales, I'm in. I prayed every day. I never ate without a Biracha. I said all those things you're supposed to say. Good man, right? So he goes up, the train pulls up. Too many Averot for comfort. Then the other train pulls up, mitzvot. Pretty even. But it looks like he needs a few thousand mitzvot to tip the scale in the form of berachot. So he's looking down the track. He hears the whistle, toot, toot. Here comes the train. Oh, now I'm in. My berachot. I got thousands, hundreds, I got millions. Train pulls up, it's one car long. He says, he taps the angel on the head. There must be some mistake. That's not my train. I said a lot of berachot. He says, you did? He said, well, it depends. How did you say them? Did you have kavanah? Well, I'm not a Kabbalist. I don't know how to think out those Kabbalah things, you know. I didn't go to Los Angeles and I wasn't a movie star, so I can't know Kabbalah. I'm just a regular guy. Okay. How about the words? Did you pronounce the words? I remember once I was by a Shiur of Chaim Avadia Yosef Shelita. Hashem should give him long life and good health and the power to keep writing. And he said the three most abused words in Lashon HaKodesh are Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Because we start with the Baruch and we get to the Lechem in Haaretz. But the Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blah, 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 blah. So they told this man, you got a problem, sir. That's all the berachot you're getting credit for. What about all those berachot I said? Don't count. They weren't said properly. So we have to understand that not only will a beracha practically, I mean in a practical manner, give me a sense of closeness to Hashem, But that, in fact, is something that I have to do properly to achieve that. In studying Tefillah, from one of the great Sefarim released, written by Harav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he says, Tefillah, prayer, is a very valuable weapon for spiritual perfection granted to the human being. We don't pray to Hashem like a vending machine to get B3, the potato chips or the pretzels. Hashem made it that we have needs so that through the asking and the requesting, we ourselves would become better by relating to Him. And in fact, he says, if someone should read the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei, should read the prayers in a language that they understand, and understand what every word is, you didn't pray. Well, you did pray, but you didn't maximize your prayer. What you did wrong was, you bought a great sefer, a great book, and you read, instead of page 1 to page 483 to the end, you read the table of contents and you closed the book and put it on the coffee table. Is that the same as reading the book? No. Well, saying the Amidah, just understanding the words, is not accomplishing what we want to accomplish. It's like reading the table of contents of your spiritual and physical needs. You have a list of the things you should relate to Hashem for, but you don't have any idea of what you're talking about. You haven't matured and ripened those prayers into something useful for yourself. I'll give you one example. We say, Shomea Tefillah. You hear our prayers. Ki ata Shomea Tefillat Kol Peh. You know why I'm asking you, Hashem? Because you hear the prayers of every mouth. You hearken unto our words. Says Rav Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when you say, Ki ata, because you have to imagine, I'm talking to a thing outside myself, another being, another power. I'm having a conversation. I'm requesting from an outside force. He's really there, and he really can do it. Ata, you, Shomea Tefillat Kol Peh. By the way, his suggestion is, now that you heard that, for the next 21 days, for the next 3 weeks, easy to remember, today's the first, till Kaf Aleph Be'elul, every time you say, Ata Shomea Tefillat Kol Peh, because you hear the prayers of every living soul, you should think this thought, Hashem, I know you're there and I know you're listening. And I know you have the power to do it. And I'm asking you and no one else exclusively. It's also something to be thankful for. That we have an opportunity to stand before Him and to ask Him. Just ask. It's okay. He's got plenty. He can provide for everyone whatever they need. Health, wealth, a husband, a wife, children, a house, a car, socks, sneakers, a sunny day. Go ahead, ask. You're not taking from anyone else. He's got plenty. No, nothing overlaps here. If you ask for something and your friend asks for something, you can both have it. Hashem's got plenty. Be thankful that you have the right to say, Ata, you, who has the power, allows me to talk and ask. 3 weeks, one Amidah a day. We started this on my bus this summer, this whole vod on tefillah. And we noticed that now every atah in the Amidah, I feel Hashem, which I wasn't feeling in June when the summer began. Because I was like the guy with the train. It sounds like a drum beating. Does it mean anything? Yes, you are there for me. You are my father and I want to get close to you and I know you can do it. Is that the way you pray today? I venture not so. What's your job in Elul? To pray that way, starting Yom Kippur, all the way through Shemini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, and on. Now how do I know this is true? The customs and the techniques implanted by the rabbis are as follows. You start your Silichot, and you notice that as time goes on, we get closer and closer to Hashem with our prayers, we blow shofar, we do different things. But then we open up the Aron HaKodesh on Rosh Hashanah more times than a regular day. In fact, in the shuls that sell Tefillah LeParnassah, the famous prayer for sustenance, the person gets an opportunity to open the ark and we see the Torah behind it. Then Yom Kippur comes. We open the ark at night, which we don't do the rest of the year. We take out the Sefer Torah. Then we put them back. We go through a full 24 plus hours of fasting and praying and tzilichot and up and down and up and down and up and down and crying and resolving. What's the culmination? Ne'ilah, we open the ark for the entire prayer. Is that the end? No. Rav Bergman, Rav Shach, son-in-law, says, look at these customs and you'll see the connection. Come Sukkot. And as the men are aware of and the women should be aware of, we have a thing called Hoshanot. And every day we take out the Sefer Torah early, we open the ark, we put the Sefer Torah on top of the Bima, and we walk around it without lulav and etrog every day. Almost like in the public square for everybody to share. Is that the end? No. Come Simchat Torah, we take the Sefer Torah out, we grab them, we hug them, and we dance with them. That's what we're aiming for. That's where we're headed. Father was walking with his son. He told his son, when we finish this walk on the other side of the park, there's an ice cream store. And I'm going to buy you any flavor you want with all the toppings. Poor kid. Park was a mile long. And the further he walked, the more he wanted that ice cream. And the more tightly he held his father's hand, the more he walked towards that ice cream store. And his mouth began to drool. And when they got to the ice cream store, his eyes lit up and you know which flavor to buy. So he had a scoop of this and a scoop of that with some of this and some of that. And he walked out smiling and his father sat on the bench with him, put him on his lap and said, are you enjoying it? And he said, yes, Daddy, thank you, I love you. Hashem created us with desires. He created us with needs. But he did it not to punish us, not to make us jealous, not to make us competitive, not to make us fight with each other. He did it so he and he alone could satisfy that need, so we could turn to him and say a beracha, thank you Hashem. So he could see us smile as we licked our ice cream. He loves us. He wants us to do well. He wants us to be close to him. He wants us to sit on his lap. and all year long we behave in a way counterproductive to that goal. The desire he puts in us to bring us closer to him, we fall into the trap of taking it further away from him. We pursue our money, our pleasures, and we go our own way with our own rule book, violating where necessary to get our needs, what he has instructed us to do and not to do. And we end up further and further away from Atah, from you, the one who could really make me happy and really give it to me. But Baruch Hashem, just like the people sinned in the time of the Egel, the golden calf, and Moshe came down and he smashed those tablets, the Brit, the covenant between the father and the children, he smashed them and nothing was left. And so he prayed to Hashem. He said, Hashem, please forgive them. And he went up and down the mountain a couple of times to accomplish it. But his last trip was today. Tomorrow morning he left. Rosh Chodesh Elul. He went up to the mountain. He prayed and he cried and he pleaded and he negotiated and he begged with a being that he could sense and feel better than any person on this earth, this planet, that ever lived at any time was ever able to conceive and perceive. And on the 40th day, Yom HaKippurim, Hashem said, Salachti kedvarecha, I forgive as you requested. And he came down. That wasn't the end. Was that the end? No. Because they had taken off their crowns when they heard about the Egel punishment. And the clouds of glory had left. And Hashem wasn't dwelling amongst them and they were unhappy and sad. They could feel the difference from Yetziat Mitzrayim to the post-Egel days. And so what happened? Moshe said, we're building a Mishkan. Let's do what the people do and deal every Shabbat of the summer. Let's have an appeal. Let's have a drive. Let's raise the money. And for the next several days, first the word went out, then they collected the money, then they counted, realized it enough, and then they stopped. Moshe said, stop. Let's begin the task of building a home for Hashem in our midst called the Mishkan. And the clouds came back to protect them. Which day? The first day of Sukkot. The time of happiness for the Jewish people. But on Sukkot we bring 70 oxen. 70 parim in the Beit HaMikdash. 13, 12, 11, 10, 10. Add them up at 70. On the last day, a separate holiday called Shemini Atzeret, we bring one korban. Why? Hashem, so to speak, says there's 70 nations on earth. The offerings you bring me during this holiday season are for the welfare of all of mankind. You rule. You determine. You are the ones. But now that the party's over and everybody's needs are taken care of, my honey, my dearest, my son, my beloved, stay one more day. We'll have a private little party. Just us. Hashem and the Yehudim. Shemini Atzeret. Simchat Torah. That's where we are going. That's the way we want to feel. What it takes is hearing, changing, improving the quality, and being on track, focused, on a closeness to Hashem and His Torah, and every time we open that ark, and the closer and closer it gets over the next several weeks, until Yom HaDin, through Aser Yemei Teshuvah, through the fast day of Yom Kippur, to the happiness of the Sukkah, no one thing, until you get to Simchat Torah, you have not arrived. That love of Torah, that happiness to do what it says, that joy of learning something new, it's because Torah is Hashem speaking to us. My children, I love you. If you do what it says in here, you'll be happy. And you can have the ice cream in any flavor you like, with all the toppings, as you sit on my lap. I hope and pray that our efforts in the next 51 days are directed in the right way and are instructed with details from all the classes and all the other speeches you're going to hear from me and others. But I felt tonight on the opening night we should at least know what our goal is, and that will give us a better opportunity to achieve it this year, so that when we finish with Simchat Torah, we can dance with the Torah with Mashiach Tzidkenu in the rebuilt Yerushalayim. Amen.